Late night joked about the president's dogs. Jimmy Kimmel said at the White House there's been what's been described as a biting incident involving the German Shepherd Major, who allegedly sank his teeth into an unnamed individual. Major has been stripped of his rank. He's dishonorably discharged. That's a terrible joke, Jimmy. You're better than that, Stephen Colbert. Now, before you worry, the dog is fine. He was not sent to a farm upstate Delaware because Delaware doesn't have an upstate. It barely has a state. Jimmy Fallon, apparently Major was jumping, barking, and charging at people. You'd think after the last 4 years, the White House staff would be used to that. Hack joke, Stephen Colbert. I just want to point out that we're a month and a half into the Biden administration, and the first scandal is literally dog bites man. Not bad. Kimmel. They sent the dog back home to live in Delaware. See, that's another difference between Biden and Trump. When Biden's dog misbehaves, they sent him home. When Trump's dog misbehaved, he sent his supporters to storm the Capitol and get him. That's funny. Fallon. When Major heard he was going back to Delaware, he was like, no, please, a kennel, the pound, anything, just not Delaware. Seth, see, under the last administration, that kind of behavior would have made you press secretary. I like that one. Corden, Major was removed from the White House. He was impeached. Oh, I want to throw up, that one so bad. Jimmy Fallon, yeah, Major and Champa left the White House, and Sunday night they're sitting down with Oprah to discuss where it all went wrong. Jimmy Fallon writers again for the win. Love you guys. By the way, Meghan Markle thing, Oprah, I got to promote Palace Intrigue. That's the podcast I write for. It's all about the royal family, short form every day. Most episodes are like 5-6 minutes. This week's been a little longer because of the Meghan Markle thing. If you want to follow royal family gossip, Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. From AtlantaBlackStar.com, your home for comedy news. Social media was ablaze last weekend as comedy fans found themselves debating who has the better film career, Eddie Murphy or Kevin Hart. Come on, that's not even a discussion. Can you hear it in my voice? Do you know who I'm going to say? Should I just tell you? This is not even a discussion. I will tell you at the end my opinion, but you should know if you listen every day. From the article, comedy fans repeatedly have asked one question. What film does Kevin Hart have that is better than Shrek, The Nutty Professor, or Beverly Hills Cop? One person commented, Kevin Hart got one movie that made me really laugh, and that was 40-Year-Old Virgin, which wasn't even his movie. Don't disrespect Eddie again. Another said, Eddie Murphy as Mushu and Donkey beats everything Kevin Hart has ever done. The 48 Hours and Beverly Hills Cop series alone are better than Kevin Hart's entire career. Some others, though, said, I don't know, though. I feel like Kevin Hart's a household name. Another person said, dog, low-key Kevin Hart does have better movies. Another said, Kevin Hart and Paper Soldiers alone is funnier than anything I'd done ever seen Eddie Murphy in, unquote. On the big stage, Kevin Hart has already surpassed Eddie Murphy with his 2013 Laugh at My Pain comedy tour. Hart sold more than $15 million worth of tickets for two back-to-back days of stand-up, breaking Eddie's previous record of $1.1 million for the same feat. Yeah, Eddie hasn't done stand-up since the 1980s. Listen, Kevin Hart fans, if Eddie Murphy goes, yo, comedy tour, forget it. He will crush Kevin Hart's record. I'll go with this final commenter. Kevin Hart ain't in the same weight class as Eddie, stand up or on the big screen. Johnny Mack's answer, who's had the better film career? Eddie Murphy, come on, not even a contest. Pete Davidson talked to some students at Penn State during the week. He said, I owe Amy Schumer my career pretty much. He also thanked Bill Hader, who recommended that Pete Davidson meet with SNL's creator Lorne Michaels. That paved the way for Davidson to audition for SNL. Pete said, there's nobody in the rooms. You're just ripping through jokes. I thought it went terrible. He gave advice for freshmen who were just starting school, saying, just be yourself and don't be a different version of yourself to make friends because it's exhausting to keep up. He said, the best way for upcoming comedians to break into the industry is what he did. I started going to open mics and network with people, and unfortunately, that's half the job. It's kind of like clubbing. He talked about a show he bombed. It was a private stand-up show following an appearance on the roast of Justin Bieber. He said, I did this weird thing in Vegas for this firm. Someone yells out to me, do the roast stuff. So I started picking on their friends, but after about 5 minutes, I started running out of stuff. So I started roasting on the event, and the guy who booked me up comes and unplugs my mic. He has encouraged students to continue wearing masks, saying, bag it up. Wear a mask and do good so we can all get back to work and be as normal as possible. Brian Regan spoke to Vulture about talking about OCD in his stand-up act. Brian said, I'm at a place where I want to maybe share a little bit more about myself than I normally would have done in the past. The first time I did the OCD bit, it was like, whoa, this is weird. That seemed a little personal. But then you realize people are cool. I was worried everybody was just going to get up and leave right after that bit. I do think OCD is great for my stand-up, not as a topic, but as the way I organize things. I'm very meticulous with how I put sets together and jokes together and words together. When you're getting ready for a five-minute spot at a Letterman or a Fallon, Letterman's over. He doesn't have a show. There's a lot of work that goes into these bits and moments, and the organizational and meticulous aspect of it helps helps in a tremendous way. I have a very mild version of OCD. It's a very difficult thing for many, many people in the world, and I don't in any way make light of it as a whole, but the meticulous organization aspect of it can be cumbersome in life as a whole, but for comedy, it has helped me in terms of keeping track of bits. I have to know what I did on the show 4 years ago. I have it all organized. Cameron Esposito spoke to the Last Laugh Pod, talking about getting Zoom bombed with hardcore porn. Cameron said, I was trying to figure out how to do a multicam shoot to do stand-up in my house, but I don't have multiple tripods. I was rubber banding a phone to a mop and another phone stacked on top of an upside-down garage can. Some of it fell over. I had this book that came out. I was supposed to go on this massive tour, but then I set up a Zoom tour, and it was Zoom bombed before we even knew about that. I was on with a bunch of writers I really respect, 500 queer folks who were signed in from their couches and beds, and I didn't know about the default setting on Zoom that folks can share their screen. So suddenly, the most hardcore pornography that I've ever seen in my entire life, I can figure out was happening, and I broadcast that into hundreds of people's homes. Hollywood Insider says AP Bio is the best show that you're not watching. They write, there are many shows that air on broadcast networks and never find their audiences. Most of the shows wind up getting canceled. Some are lucky enough to find another home, like AP Bio. It's on Peacock. The show centers on Jack Griffin. He's played by It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as Glenn Howerton. Jack Griffin is a disgraced Harvard philosophy professor who winds up having to go back to his hometown of Toledo, Ohio, and teach AP Biology, a subject he knows nothing about. Patton Oswalt plays the principal, Ralph Durbin. The premise seems fairly basic, but the show does a phenomenal job of taking that simple premise and giving it some heart and lots of laughs through the development of the characters, blah, blah, blah. I've seen a couple of these. It's okay, and that's the problem. It's okay. Like, if it were on Hulu, I'm bored enough, I'd probably watch it, but, like, I don't have the Peacock without commercials, and I am not sending through the commercials. Oh, yeah, I pay for deluxe Hulu without commercials. But Peacock, I'm not giving you my money. If I want to watch The Office, I've got DVDs. Another show that's okay is Superstore. Their showrunners talked about approaching COVID as a topic. One of the showrunners said, I remember someone from the production team texting me like, hey man, we're Universal's guinea pigs. They're basically saying, we don't know if a COVID show is going to work, so let's just see if Superstore doesn't mess it up. When we first started thinking about this season, we were assuming it would be done by COVID by the time we started airing in the fall. Once it became clear that wouldn't be the case, Superstore's first episodes turned into a timeline question. Should they start from the spring and follow the characters as the reality of COVID settles into their lives? Should they skip ahead to the fall? The writers decided, we have to tell every bit of the story. I want to see the evolution of this, where we stumbled into this in the beginning, thinking it was nothing, and ended up being married to this completely new life. There was some thought we'd have multiple episodes in the early period, March, April, and May of last year. We definitely wanted to have an episode where we saw the pandemic start. But then they realized they had to move quickly through those months to show something closer to the current moment. We decided we wouldn't spend too long on the beginning of the pandemic because the whole thing about the pandemic is its constant presence, it being in the shadow of people's lives. One of the early jokes has Marcus as one of the few characters to get a severe case of COVID. By the time he's back at the store, he's anxious to talk about Tiger King, but at that point, no one cares. Tonally, that gets us to what we kind of want, which is that the lives we're living are insane in a way that's funny. If we're a show about day-to-day life just got effing ludicrous. Superstore took advantage of how ludicrous it became, so that's what Superstore has been up to. I need to catch up on the show. That's one of those, it's like AP Bio, like, it's fine. You know what else is fine? Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor's fine, but for some reason I like Mr. Mayor more than I like these other two. Like I said, maybe if AP Bio was in front of my face, I'd watch it because I like Glenn Howerton and I like Patton Oswalt. I don't know. There's just too much TV, and yet there's no TV. If you've ever stared at Netflix for 10 minutes, you know what I'm talking about. That is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you like what I do, buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Back with more tomorrow.